depending upon the Lord for all needed help, I direct your attention to the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19. The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Now, some might say, we've heard this word preached from many, many times. Well, what a mercy it is that you have, because you must have heard the truth. But what a mercy still, nevertheless, whether we have received the word of God or no, the foundation of God standeth sure. For from the beginning, this Satan has ever sought to disturb and to trouble the word of God and to cast it aside. But my friend, there's one thing he cannot do, is to overcome the word of God. Sinners may have turned away from him. Sinners might certainly have rejected his word and said all manner of things about it. I wonder what we have said about it. I wonder if our thoughts and our words have been acceptable before God in this respect. But oh, who can answer these things? Who can speak of these things? Only we, as we individually, are responsible. But nevertheless, in spite of all these things, the word, the foundation of God, standeth sure. He said, consider what I say unto, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Yes, many will accept the crucifixion of Christ. They will go as far as that. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, oh no, men will say. And they will come up with all various theories or some hypothesis to set it aside. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Whatever men say or think or devise about it, the truth will ever be sure, and this is our mercy. For where would we be, what hope would we have of eternal glory without a risen Lord, without a risen Saviour? Oh, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord Jesus Christ, he lays this down so clearly in his word with respect to precious baptism. Apostle Paul is buried with him into baptism and risen again with him to the newness of life, the emblem, the setting forth of our faith, of that which we believe in, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, men might have many thoughts concerning this and say, oh, well, I have never been shown it. Oh, well, I do not think that's for me. Oh, well, it's up to the individual to do what they say. Oh, come, tell me and show me where in the Word of God we have such an argument and controversy as this. No, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to John the Baptist, suffer it to be so now. Why? It may have been argued and said, well, surely Jesus Christ did not need to be baptized. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ in all things is a pattern and an example unto us. And his great exhortation unto the Church of God right down through the ages and even until now and forever is, follow thou me. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And the Lord knoweth you, dear sinner, that are his. He will not leave you to rest. He'll give you, your conscience will have no peace in these matters. He'll speak to thee of these matters. He'll remind you of these matters. Incline thine heart in these matters. He'll draw thee by thy love in these matters. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. How often that is a searching question with the Lord's people, whether in the church or out of the church. Am I the Lord? Am I his? Or am I not? Oh, for we see clearly there is a division in the Word of God between the righteous, the unrighteous, God's elect, and those who never receive him. And these are matters of great concern. It's not a matter of contention, is it, with the child of God? But it's that which brings forth a gracious inquiry, fearing, trembling, lest we should presume and take upon ourselves such things as do not belong unto us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, how it is on this point I want to come to. He knoweth. What a mercy that is. In many things, there may be some shadow of uncertainty with us, but there's never a shadow of uncertainty with God. There's no shadow of uncertainty with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knoweth them that are his. He knew that woman that was in Samaria. And she lived, my friends, in sin. She lived in a very shameful way. But nevertheless, she was one of his. And what does he say? He must needs be go through Samaria. There's a reason for the Lord knoweth them that are his. He sat weary at the well for his disciples gone away to go and buy food in the village. It's true, he waited there, but my friend, he knew also the woman that would be coming there. He had an engagement to make there, friends. And if the Lord has an engagement with you, you'll keep it. And you know that he'll meet with you there. He knoweth them that his. She did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but he knew her. And thus she could say, come and see a man that told me all that ever I did. There may be some here this afternoon who are compelled to say, come and see a man who told me all that ever I did. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And there's not one of those souls, no, not one, who does not need his salvation. There's not one that does not need the pardon and forgiveness of their sin. There's not one that doesn't stand in need of that precious atoning blood of Christ. No, he knoweth them that are his. So when he came for that particular purpose, to save all his people from their sins. This is the foundation of salvation, that not one of them should be lost. Oh, the great depth of this truth is beyond our understanding, isn't it? That he does know every one. You know, there is division and strifes among men of all manner of things. Things which divide men and their companies from company. It may be colour, it may be class, it may be the name of their religion and so on. But one thing we can surely say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And none of those things will prevent or encourage the Lord Jesus Christ to be attracted unto such souls. No. He knoweth them that are his, because he has loved them with an everlasting love. Oh, the great depths of election. One feels completely out of depth to really speak with understanding and fullness upon these things. But we read, we are chosen in him before the foundations of the world. That does not need a lot of explaining then, does it? The Lord knoweth them that are his, even before mankind was created. Who can argue with the great Creator over these things? Who can say unto him, what right hast thou to divide and to separate one from the other? Friend, remember this, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he had a love to them ere time begun. And such was his love that nothing could separate those souls from him. He was determined to save them. Determined to save, he watched over my path. How true that is. He was determined to save. when Satan's blind slave I sported with death. Perhaps some can say, well, I've never done that. But I believe some of us know what that is, to have sported with death or lived in such a way with disregard of destroying oneself through their own foolishness and madness. Friend, thinking it sport, thinking it fun to do a thing, I say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I don't believe that when that foundation is revealed to them, that they'll ever gloat over their misconduct and foolishness. Are we not sometimes brought to look back with horror? Oh, how foolish we have been. And where would we have been but for his preventing hand? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now there is another point of view I want to just touch upon with regard to this subject. The Lord knoweth them that are his. It's not endorsed by man. It's not, doesn't come about by the decision of man. It isn't decided by a judge. Friends, what language that is. And if we knew what God knew about us, then there'll be no hope for us either. Remember that. But nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Therefore, he'll remove those divisions and stripes. And it is through his wondrous love and shed blood that he brings men into unity together. I say, great truth, isn't it? Are we in union with the church's living head? Have I union? Have I union? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Surely our great and prime concern should be not them, but me. Am I one of them? How we sometimes hear that phrase, they're not one of us. I must admit, it's often spoken of in a very innocent way, as explaining that they were not brought up under the same faith and order as we are. But when that's spoken of in such a way, they're not of the same faith and order as we are, therefore I am right, they are wrong. That is exceedingly sinful and full of pride in the sight of God. We need altering, we need changing, we need regulating, don't we, and controlling by the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord indeed to bring us to personal self-examination. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, the wondrous truth there is in that, isn't there? That he does rebuke us and thus take away our infernal pride. But that's what it is. Infernal pride. And cause us to cling and cleave unto him. Being brought to that place, Lord, how can such a Pharisee, a hypocrite as I, dare to put my face in to the house of God again? How can I be numbered with thy people? Yet does the hymn writer ring true in your soul, numbered with them, may I be, now and through eternity. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Why, he puts a living desire in the heart of that soul, however young they are, or however old they are, that they may come under this heading, the Lord's children, the Lord's people. Come under that desire of the hymn writer. O Heavenly Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. The Lord knoweth them that are his. There may be some who may say, now I've only just begun to listen. I've only just begun to read the Word of God. I've only just begun to secretly pray unto God. The Lord knoweth them that are his. We may term it secret prayer, but my friend, it's no secret with God, is it? That is our mercy. I sometimes use that expression, the coming sinner. I don't mean it in an offensive way. I see something beautiful and wonderful about it. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he calls them, he draws them by his irresistible grace. He'll come with the prophet and saying, draw me and I will run after thee. Yes, so is the drawing power, that he gives that energy, strength and desire that was not known before. It may be like this with you. I did know it, and I long to know it again, and I want more of it too. Lord, make it abundantly clear again that I am thy child. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Yes, indeed. How we need to be careful of what we say or think of other people. I was once called to the deathbed of an old gentleman who, when he came on the Sabbath to give the hymns out, he came in the door dot on the hour. He just put the hymn up, and he gave the hymn out at a very fast gobble. And in the interval, he'd only talk about things that he'd done in his life, where he'd made money and had succeeded. I say it to my shame. Now, in my book, I'd written the man off. I thought he couldn't be a child of God. He was nothing but a hypocrite. So when I was called to his deathbed, I said, Lord, what can I say? I trembled at the very thought. And my prayer was like this, Lord, make me faithful. But you know, when I went into the room, the little old man sat up in bed. His face was radiant, and he was full of the blessing of the Lord. And he was reiterating what the Lord had done for him from a child. But he went on to speak, to my amazement, how he had profited under my early ministry, Sunday after Sunday. Well, that shut my mouth. I felt somewhat bewildered. And I said to him, well, I'm pleased to hear this. I'm sure this is the Lord's work. But what mystifies me is why you never spoke of these things before. You only spoke about what you had done, how successful you'd been in the ministry, and what you did about the place at the chapel. He said with tears rolling down his face, yes, I know exactly what you mean. But I was afraid that somebody would think more of me than they ought to think. Now, what he did was wrong, of course. But I say my spirit was far worse than what he did. I felt so ashamed of myself. My point is, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he told me the reason of it. That when he was a boy at that chapel, sadly, the church there went astray. And on the Sabbath dinner hour, they used to go down to the public house drinking. And the trustees disbanded the church, and there wasn't a church there afterwards again. But he and he's brought up into a poor, that state and that condition. And it left this impression upon him. What a terrible thing it was to be in a false religion. And Satan tempted him, it's better to make no religion at all than to be a hypocrite. My friend, that is not true. That's not true. That's where the adversary, the devil, had got the upper hand of him. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But he couldn't finally hold him. He couldn't finally bind him. No. In his old age, he had to break forth and relate the Lord's goodness and mercy to him. There are a deep teaching in these things, and I trust there may even be a purpose for me reiterating some of these things this afternoon, that we might know this: the Lord knoweth them that are his. Lord, am I one of thine? Give me, Lord, that grace to live according to thy mind and will. Though everything may seem to be loaded against me, to ever remember this: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that he will keep the feet of his saints. He will preserve them from evil. As was spoken to Eli, them that honour me, I will honour. Not that they will be reimbursed with gold and silver and honour here below, but surely the greatest honour that can be conferred upon the individual and the church of God is the Lord's presence. And Enoch walked with God. I say, them that honour me, I will honour. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Then he goes on in this verse to say, having this seal. Yes, what is a seal? We know that when a seal is put upon a thing, it's that which is to prove and to indicate its worth, its value, its content. and what it contains. It is clear as a seal. You look into the inside of a ring, you there see a seal of the value of the gold it is, or the value of the silver it is. It is a seal. You may look upon something you purchase, and you'll see the seal of what the analysis is in it, or what it's made from, what it contains. My friends, the seal of God upon his people is this: the Lord knoweth them that are his. Having this seal upon the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Yes, and what a mercy that is, to prove again and again the content of your religion, that the Lord is faithful. The Lord hasn't altered. He hasn't changed. There's been a lot of wavering. There may be, but it's been on our part. We should indeed have fallen overboard by now and sunk to the bottom of endless destruction. But the Lord knoweth them that are his, and he does not allow it to take place. In that beautiful chapter, the 10th chapter of John, Jesus gives to us various illustrations of sheep and the shepherd. He calleth his sheep, and they know his voice. He knoweth them indeed as individual. Friends, great mercy of that illustration. Because the shepherds in that district used to all bring their sheep into a very large compound at night, so that one man could look after all of the flocks of that area. There were high walls which wild animals couldn't get into. And you might say, but how did you divide them in the morning? Well, the shepherd came to the door, and he called his sheep, and they came out, because they knew the shepherd's voice. And he would stand there with his rod at the mouth of the doorway, and those that came out of his own he knew, and so he would lift up his rod and let them through. They came under his rod. That's where the expression comes from, being brought under his rod. I say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The foundation of God, standeth sure. He'll bring you under his rod. He'll claim you as his portion. He indicates that he wants you to be where he would have you be. He wants you under his eye, his control and attention. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Though but a sheep, the Lord knoweth them. And it is not the Father's will, that one of these little ones should perish. Have you ever stopped and thought about that word, perish? It's a solemn thing, isn't it, to see somebody perish? Whether it is by water or by fire or some severe motor accident, or perish by some physical condition. But my friend, that life that he gives to his people is that of eternal life. And that, my friend, none can touch. none can take away. For he has said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. No, not even you, poor sinner, poor seeker, you shall never perish. Why? Because the good shepherd hath laid down his life for the sheep. It was he that suffered, bled, and died in their place and stead. It was he that indeed proclaimed peace and pardon to that soul. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Why? What is upon that seal? For this soul I suffered, bled and died. This soul's sins, though they were so many and so vast, they have all been paid for. They have all been purged away. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is. Are you a debtor to him? Has he shown such a love to you in so doing? Is it not your desire that you might love him more and love him still? Why? Having his seal upon it, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Every one is pardoned and forgiven. The foundation of God standeth sure. The word of God likens to that great company that are saved and shall be with the Lord forever hereafter as a church or a building. A building that he builds. Not built with dead, inert stone, but of living souls. Wonderful illustration, isn't it? And so one of our hymn writers puts it, and shall I be found a living stone in Salem streets above? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Remember when the temple was built, that every stone was prepared and marked without the building site itself and brought in. It was so cut and faced to one to meet in with the other. Prepared, wasn't it there? So, my friend, the Lord would show to us that his people are prepared for that prepared place, that he might claim them as his and part of his, and that he, being the foundation of that building, he being the cornerstone, he being the headstone, why, then it is a living church. Oh, above, the Lord knoweth them that I am his. We read of those who sought to have a place of importance, as they sought, in heaven above. But my friends, Jesus rebuked them for it and said to his disciples, it's not mine to give to you. And there he rebuked them because they wanted to be the greatest. Friend, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And I believe this, that all his people will be shut in. Great mercy, that solemn thought, to be shut out. It's a different matter to be shut in and to be the first and foremost in that company. Such a spirit will not be evident in heaven above. But all that word saved and saved by grace, will be the great theme of that heavenly song. And didn't Paul say, of whom I am chief? Shall not the Lord's people indeed think this in their heart? If they live to reach that place, then loudest of the crowd I'll sing. Oh, yes, not in a competitive way, but oh, feeling so great, so deep there seems to be. So great is his love and mercy to such a wretch as me. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now here is a word for each and every one of us. Do we profess Christ? Then do we desire to depart from iniquity? And one might ask me, well, what is iniquity? Oh, alas, it's this. Iniquity is that which is displeasing to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it is his desire, and this is a very seal of evidence, that he has no desire that they should continue in iniquity, to live to themselves, but rather that they should live to him. So may God work mightily in our hearts, individually and collectively. May it have this seal upon it. Oh, that the Lord is here, and that the Lord will gather people in and unto himself, now and for evermore. Amen.